You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Amen. Well, today we're continuing the series on thank you. We started it last week, and this week it's part two. You know, I know last week Pastor Joshua talked about open gates and being thankful for the open gates and entering his gates with thanksgiving, having new doors, new opportunities. And what I want to talk to you today is about what do we do after those gates are open. What happens after that is very important. So I want to start off by pinpointing something that's very common for us. Oftentimes, you know, we're quick to request things from God, and it's very easy to identify our needs, and we, you know, will list them before the Lord. But what happens after those things are given to us? And a lot of times we don't even notice there's small things happening around us every day. You know, we get so excited after we receive whatever it is, receive the blessings in disguise, and we lose focus and we forget. I think it's so important when you are wanting to excel in an area to know what it is that you have to work to better so that you can actually attain that success in that area. So although thankfulness is very simple, it's a simple concept, just saying thank you, right? But if you want it to be a lifestyle and something that you do all the time, there's some things that we have to remove from our lives that we have to look out for. One of those things is forgetfulness. And I want to expound upon that a little bit and help you to acknowledge today that God is constantly working around you. Whether you are able to identify it or not, He's constantly doing things around you, and He wants to bless us. You know, we forget that God is a God who wants to bless His children. He loves us. And so how many of you, this is a question I would ask, how many of you can recognize and perceive when He's doing something, when He has done something in you? Okay, I like that we used our hands. That was good. But people tend to celebrate and give thanks for big things. You know, you get a new car, a new house, and, you know, it's obvious. Okay, I need to thank God for this. This is a big blessing. But I want to talk about those little moments. You know, every day He's doing something, right? So I'm going to give you a small example. He's not in here, but Christian loves trains. He's got a bunch of these little trains, and you know, every once in a while, he'll misplace one of them. He's usually really good with them. But I remember the other day, he misplaced one, and he was like, where is Henry, the train? Where's my Henry? I can't find Henry. And so he's going all around. The next thing I hear, after a while, you know, I forget about it, he, all of a sudden, I hear, I found him, praise the Lord. And, you know, I thought, at first, I you know, my initial momness towards him, I just felt like, oh, how cute, you know, it's so great that he did that. But, you know, God showed me something through that. It was something small. To him, it was really big, you know, but it's just all the little things. When something good happens in our life, the Bible says that every good and perfect thing comes from above. So when something good happens to us, it could be the smallest thing, we should be giving thanks for that. Now, I want to talk about an instance where it was actually a big thing and somebody, many, forgot. And let's go to Luke 17, 11 through 16. And it says, it happened that as he made his way toward Jerusalem, he crossed over the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men, all lepers, met him. They kept their distance, but raised their voices, calling out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Taking a good look at them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. They went, and while still on their way, they became clean. One of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful he couldn't thank him enough. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus said, "Were not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except the outsider?" Then he said to him, "Get up on your way. Your faith has healed and saved you." This is so powerful. I want to break this down. Let's look at the very beginning. He turned around and he came back and he was shouting his gratitude with a loud voice, right? You know, how many times are we blessed and we want to just, you know, for whether it be because we are embarrassed or we don't want to make a big deal about it, we don't say it, you know, and it's so important when something happens to us that's good. It's a testimony. It's part of our testimony. And what is our testimony for? It's not only to show and prove God's faithfulness to us, but it's also for us to in turn bless others. How many, and I want you to just ponder this in your heart. You don't have to raise your hand, that you've been going through something and somebody may have testified about something that you could relate to. And you said, wow, if God could do it for them, he could do it for me. That is the power of testimony. When the word says we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, it's because the more that we rehearse the goodness of God and we say, man, let me tell you why I thank God today. Let me tell you why I'm thankful for my relationship with him is because he did this for me. That encourages each other. It encourages the body of Christ. So this is something that we have to learn, is that when we are blessed, whether big or small, that we learn to talk about it and say, man, I just want to encourage you. You know what God did for me? I know you've been praying about this one specific area. I just want to agree with you because I know that he's faithful and he could do it. The second thing is he kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful. What is another parallel for the act of kneeling down? Worship, right? It was an act of worship before the Lord. So when you are thanking God, you are actually engaging in worship when you say thank you, not just being here, not just worshiping, not at church, but every moment that you take to acknowledge God and who he is, it's an act of worship. He couldn't thank him enough, and he was a Samaritan. That almost sounds like an insult, you know, like we didn't expect him because he's to give thanks because he's a Samaritan. Now this is the part that really, like, God just totally blew my mind with this. Okay, so just ready or prepare your hearts. We've been praying that everyone's heart would be ready for this because this is so wonderful. The Greek word alogenes, the Greek word for Samaritan. Alogenes means stranger or foreigner. So I said, you know, what does that mean when somebody is not from the inside and they can recognize and say, you know, I understand and I recognize that God did something. What does that say about people who are commonplace with God, right? There's this familiarity that's taken place, that's infiltrated. And this is why we have to check ourselves today, because when you're close to something a lot, you begin to get almost distant because you become familiar with it. Oh, I know about that. You know what I'm saying? So let me give you some practical examples. It's that family member who's always asking for help. It's the friend who always calls you with a problem. Whenever they need somebody, they know that you're going to be there, but you don't get that reciprocation as much, right? It's the son or daughter that only calls when they need something. It's people sometimes that will come to church and will ask for prayer for a specific thing that they're really believing for, or they'll need counseling, and then they'll get the breakthrough, and then it's 6 months before you see them again. It's those times that you take advantage of God's presence and what he's doing for you. You know, when we become familiar with the things of God, we're only hurting ourselves. There's such a holiness and a sacredness to God's presence. And this is the principle that I want to give you. Familiarity will cause you to lose respect and appreciation for the things of God. And there is a faith, thank you, connection. There is a connection here, because when we look at this last scripture here, the last part of the scripture, it said, "Were not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Can none of them be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider?" Then he said to him, "Get up on your way. Your faith has healed you and saved you." This scripture is so relevant. When I looked this up, and I mean, let me just tell you, the Spirit of God wants to really invite us to a greater understanding of faith. Because we look at it just as a belief, but it's something so much greater than that. When he said your faith has healed you and saved you, the original Greek word of this is pistis. What is pistis? There's two parts of the definition. A conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. I'll say that again. It's a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. And the second part is fidelity or faithfulness, the character of one who can be relied upon. So I've just given you the definition, follow me with this, for faith in this scripture, where he says your faith has healed and saved you. Let's plug in the definitions. Get up on your way. Your conviction or belief respecting your relationship to God and divine things has made you whole, has saved you and healed you, right? The second part, your fidelity and your faithfulness to me, your character, the one that can be relied upon with me, has saved you and made you whole. How many times do we try to ask God for something? And it's a list. And we don't live out the rest of our lives consistently. We're not faithful. I believe you, God, for this. We get it. And then we forget to come back and say thank you. We forget to live our faith every day and say, I know my God is a faithful God. He walks with me every day. But so many times we get so far away from being faithful to him. So then we get frustrated when we pray for something and it comes through. And then when the next time when we pray for something and it doesn't come through, do you realize that the one was able to recognize who God was completely? And he was also able to recognize that he was not only healed, but that he owed him a thank you. Man, we take advantage of the Lord sometimes. I stop myself as much as I can and I say, God, please forgive me if I overlook what you've done in my life. There's always something to be thankful for. Always. We've created in our home, our immediate home, a culture of Thanksgiving. I was raised in a family that really encourage Thanksgiving. My husband was raised in a family that encouraged that, and we believe it's a biblical principle, so we instill it in our kids. And that's why we see them, when they stop, they recognize, I should give thanks to God for this. If anybody forgets at the table to say a prayer to thank God for the food, one of those kids is reminding one of the other, you know. We have to make it a culture within our family, within our workspaces, wherever you are. I was just sharing with a couple. We were doing premarital counseling. We talked about, I said, the woman is the thermostat at home, you know, and she sets the tone for how things go in the house, right? Well, it's the same thing with every Christian. Where you go, it should be you setting the atmosphere. Why is that person always so thankful? You know, people should be asking these questions. They should see our faith oozing through. So the second part I wanted to talk to you about, the first part was forgetfulness, right? The second part was destroying entitlement. We have an obstacle to overcome, and it's called entitlement. And a lot of times we think about this in terms of, because, you know, I've heard it circulated of the millennial generation, but it's more than that. It's really infiltrated our culture in this nation. People feel that they're entitled to things, that I don't owe you anything, you owe me. And I just want to put that next to the word, and does that seem like the Spirit of Christ? Does it line up? It doesn't. It doesn't. And, you know, I'm going to give you some practical examples. And please, everybody, I love you all. I wouldn't be saying this unless I really felt that the Spirit wanted me to share this. But it's something that has to be cut off. The Word of God is quick and powerful. And if we judge our life by the Word, we're able to see what needs to come off. So you have examples of entitlement when people ask, man, why do I have to pay for a shirt? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? Why aren't they doing this kind of music? Why isn't this happening? Why do we even have to pay? Why do we not pay? Why do we have to give offering? Why can't the church pay for my bills? Why can't they do everything for me? Can I tell you what the Word of God says about these things? We are here to serve each other. But we're all servants first. It's not about what can I get. When I come before the Lord, I come to give him something that cost me something. I don't offer him that which cost me nothing. I don't come to the church for the church to fulfill me. I come to the church because this is where I'm supposed to be, to celebrate who God is. And then not just that, create a community where people are encouraged and edified and can in turn go out and grab some more people. And this is what we're here for. Our purpose on this earth is to do God's will, fulfill his purpose, and encourage one another in that. So many people are so void of hope, so void of all these things that God has promised them, but because they haven't been able to see it exemplified in somebody's life, and they see a lot of infighting, then they say, I don't want that. So I say all that to say this. If we create a culture of not being entitled, of saying, how can I serve you? How can I help you? I see you're having trouble in this area. Do you need help? Do you need me to pray with you? Those type of things is what creates a movement, what fosters people to feel the love of Christ in you. Because it's true selflessness. When we're always looking for an angle, when we're always looking to see what we can get something out of something or somebody, it's sad. It's not biblical. So I want to show you what the Word says about it. Luke 17, 7 through 10. And the funny thing is, this was like a little bit earlier from the other, it's like the pretext from the other scripture. When a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, come in and eat with me? No, he says, prepare my meal, put on your apron and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later. And does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? Of course not. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty. You know, we see it all through the Word, where the word servant is a description of a believer. Not slave, servant. So we serve him. We serve others. We're here to serve people. We know number one is we serve God, but we're serving people to bring them back to God. The best example of this was Jesus. Okay, guys, if he's our standard, if he's the one that we are modeling everything that we do by, Mark 10 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We're talking about the ultimate example of selflessness. If we could just be a little bit more thankful and serving others and not always looking to be served, I believe we could do great things. I believe we could do great things. Here is the principle Entitlement blocks thankfulness. It's very straightforward. When you feel that you're owed something, when you feel that somebody's supposed to be serving you and you can't get down first and do something and not wait for a thank you, not wait for somebody to say, I'm so proud of you. Those things are great. They edify us. But if that's the reason we're doing something, then it's not for the right reason. It stops us from being thankful and saying, God, this is why you brought me here. God, I'm thankful that I get to serve. I'm thankful that I get to share. Those of you that know me well, know I don't like to get up here and speak in the natural. But I will refuse that because I said, God, I repent. I'm thankful that you choose to use me. It's not about me having fun. It's not about me wanting to set a platform for myself. I prefer to be in the back. But I'm thankful, and I just know that when I do, when I'm obedient, God is pleased. And that's what matters to me. And I say that not to give myself a pat on the back, but to encourage you. If you feel like you are not good enough, or you feel like I don't want to do this, or it's you know, if it's something an inconvenience to you, I think about how many great men and women of God and other leaders that have not denied themselves. I'm sorry, that have denied themselves. And if they wouldn't have, if they would have chosen the other route of saying, I'm not going to do that. It's not comfortable. It's not convenient for me. Or, you know, we have this beautiful gift that God has given us. And saying thank you, being thankful for what he's placed in us and watering it and allowing it to grow can be such an impactful thing in this world if we allow God to do it. Am I making sense? You know, I really believe that big doors are open when you can become a servant, because God can trust you. If he knows you're not there to take advantage of people, if he knows you're not there for personal gain, you know, he blesses you for that because you don't need it. But when that's what we're chasing, then it's a lot harder to trust somebody with that. So forgetfulness and entitlement, we should always remember to look around us and say thank you. Big things, small things. We should remember to not be entitled and know that we're servants first. And the faith thank you connection. Being consistent in our understanding of who God is to us and having an unwavering belief in him. I believe that opens doors. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who is so quick to forgive, especially when we come with an open and repentant heart. And so, God, if we've held back any thank yous, if we've walked out in any entitlement, if we've forgotten ever to say thank you, Lord, we ask that you'd forgive us, God. We repent for those things. And we receive your forgiveness today. We receive your love today, God, your acceptance, the fact that you love us so much and that you want to bless us. And we thank you, God, for that. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would just strip away right now any type of thought process that would cause any type of blockage to us being able to say thank you. We allow you to remove it from the root. And help us, Lord, to see things through the eyes of Jesus. Help us to want to serve others. Help us to have a servant's heart. God, make us over. Make our hearts over. Renew our minds, Lord. We ask you to do that today. We allow your spirit to do that today. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.